The next is called compassion. And compassion on the scale of consciousness is one of the highest forces that you can have. Compassion is the... I had someone say to me the other day who I had dinner with, who I hadn't spoken to in about a year. And this person said to me, "You're softer now than you were a year ago. You're softer now." And I understood what they meant. That there's more compassion in me. If there's anything that has changed over the last 30 years or so in my work, it has been a steady sort of movement in that direction of feeling more compassion, not just for other people, but for all of life. After the World Trade Center events of the 11th of September 2001, I was asked to appear on television many times because I'd published this book about a spiritual solution to every problem. And I always found myself sort of recoiling at listening to some of the military people talking about, well, we killed 300 of these people over here, and we had a great day today, but 400 of these people we were able to kill in caves when we were bombing them and so on. And I would say on the TV, and I'd get mail about this, I'd say, but those are 15 and 16-year-old boys. They just happen to live in a different part of the world, and maybe they have a little different look to them, and their skin may be a little different shade, but they're still young boys. And the problem we have in the world is one of hatred. And having compassion for those people that we call our enemies is what the greatest teachers who've ever walked among us taught us to be, to have compassion and to create no enemies. Because the final one of these qualities here on creating a new agreement, if you will, is called connectedness. Connectedness. A sense that every single one of us has some connection through this invisible force that flows through all of us. Compassion and connectedness. Rumi's observation. I, you, me, he, she, they. These are distinctions which do not exist in the garden of the mystics. You can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. And by changing your attitude and changing your sense of things like compassion and connectedness and all of these 9 or 10 things that I've just gone through about attitude and shifts, remind us that in our thoughts we have created a world which sometimes doesn't seem to work. And we have to change our thoughts. The Native Americans used to say that no tree has branches so foolish as to fight among themselves. Comments?
I am terribly judgmental, and I pray every morning and ask God to remove that defect of character, because that's the only way I see it happening. You got a magic bullet?
There is a magic bullet for eliminating judgment from your life, and it is when you are asking God, remind yourself that you are really connected to God. You are really asking yourself, and that the ability to be non-judgmental is already there. It's not something that's going to come to you from outside of you, because you and God are one. So what you're doing is asking yourself to be what you know you can become. And in doing so, what you do is you start practicing, which is what I do, start practicing that whole idea of the very first principle, a mind that is open to everything. Here is someone who is different than I am, speaking different than I am. And instead of, at the moment I catch myself sending the judgment, sending love in response to whatever it is, just always sending love. There was an observation that I wanted to read on here. And it's from William Butler Yeats, who was one of my real heroes in my life, Irish poet. He said, Florence Farr, once said to me, if we could say to ourselves with sincerity, the passing moment is as good as any I shall ever know, we could die upon the instant and be united with God. So in this instant, when I'm about to judge, I stop myself in that instant. Yes?
My question is about letting go of resistance. That's where my work is right now. I'm really conscious and aware of my resistance, which I know is the way to releasing it. But I'd just love to hear you talk some more about it.
I think I will in the next principle. But the idea of resistance, the way that I find myself moving past resistance always is through meditation. It's always through silence. If I can't figure it out, it's like no matter what it is, if I feel the resistance coming, it's and as I do this two or three times, I start feeling myself getting lighter and resistance just passes. It's almost like it's a way of leaving your body because resistance is all in the physical world. Resistance is the source of problems. And when you let go, you're letting God. And bringing God in through japa is a really fast and beautiful way. And even if I feel short of breath or I feel a pain or whatever it might be, any kind of physical thing, it's the process of letting go, japa. When I've said on the PBS special, you may have heard me, whenever I call Deepak and ask him about any problem I ever have, his response is, meditate. Meditate. I'll say, but Deepak, I've got blah, blah. He said, meditate. Because it's always making conscious contact. Yes.
Talking about rewriting our agreement, I thought of something that Tennyson has said that I'd forgotten about that is real close and dear to my heart, and I wrote it down to make sure I got it right. Some people see things as they are and say, why? I dream of things that never were and say, why not?
Great observation. How many of you remember the moment of Edward Kennedy quoting that at his brother's death, at his brother's funeral, speaking about the ability to think and look at why not?